this morning, I thought we'd read a short Bible passage, one that we might not normally read. It's from Hebrews, following on from yesterday. So I'll just read it here. From Hebrews chapter 2, it says, "For surely it is not angels he helps," that's Jesus the he, "it surely it is not angels that he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, Jesus had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." We'll come back and think about a few key words in that as we run through today's all-age service. But today is a busy day. Perhaps some of you have been busy looking at stockings. Maybe you've looked under the Christmas tree. Maybe you've got a festive feast that's already cooking to be eaten at lunchtime or later. So who else, who might need some help, children, today? Any takers? Who might need some help? So your mum might need some help. Indeed. Caroline's looking for help for her family there. Yeah, your mum might need some help. Even your dad, if he's helping in the cooking department. What about all that wrapping paper that's left over? Who's going to tidy that away? There's lots of things that we can be helping with today. And it's good that one of the first things we see in our passage today, in the first line, is that Jesus has come to help, as we see in verse 16. But who has Jesus come to help? The passage up there says he came to help Abraham's descendants. And we remember that Abraham was an Old Testament guy who did trust God's promises to bless him and all of humanity. And Jesus is saying that he has come to help all who'll trust in him. So that's a good thing to remember. Jesus, the King of Christmas, he's come to help all who'll trust in him. And one of the first people who came to trust the baby Jesus was an old man called Simeon. Now, remember, we saw him last week when we had our special service at Saucer Village College in that hall. And when Simeon first saw Jesus as a small child in the temple, he said, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for me in the light of all nations, a light of revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel." So Jesus did come to help the ancient people of Israel, that's all Abraham's biological descendants, but he also said he came to help the Gentiles. Or in other words, that's everyone else. That's the religious people, the irreligious people, the folks who've done their best at wrapping their Christmas presents, at writing their Christmas cards, but also those people who perhaps haven't given any or might not have received any. Jesus is ready to help anyone. And as we'll see, there's no one actually who doesn't need Jesus' help. So it's the first great truth this morning that we see about Jesus, the King of Christmas. He's the God who knows us, who cares about us, and in Jesus is able to help everyone. And he wants to help us. And all right, as he has come to help, the next thing you can't see it in the passage because I've taken it away. The next thing he said about himself, or Hebrews said about him, was in verse 17. He said, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way. So God's son, as we saw yesterday as well, was human in every way. We recall Jesus' humanity and deity unashamedly in carols like Once in Royal David City, when we sing, "He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all." And then, "He was little, weak and helpless, tears and smiles like us he knew." So Jesus was a real human baby. He would have giggled and cried, just like we all do. And adults as well, as we grow up, we still don't escape. We know happiness, we know sadnesses and frustrations. Jesus was a real human. So as that baby Jesus grew up, his parents, Mary and Joseph, would have needed some things as he grew up. Can I have some helpers to come and look at my bag to see what kind of things you might have used? Yeah, I need maybe about 5 or 6 helpers. Alice, come up. Yeah. David, Albie, are you going to come up? Yeah, come up. And we'll have a look in the bag and see what we've got. What have we got here? Oh, nobody wants this one. Who wants to hold that one up? What's that one? It's a nappy. And he might have needed some toys. He was a real little baby. There would have been things to do. And then, what might you need? What are these? Little tiny shoes. And eventually, what would he need? Big shoes as well. Because he's the little baby is going to grow up. And like you, well, if you're the eldest one in your family, you might hand down some clothes. Jesus would have been the eldest in his family. He would have been handing down his shoes, maybe his clothes, to some of his little brothers and sisters. And then, perhaps they would need some of these. What's that? It's a book, a nice reading book. And eventually he might have needed some of these. What's that? Do you want to turn around and show? It's not the book. Oh, it's a textbook. A textbook. He might have had to go to school and do some learning. He's going to learn new things. And when he finished with school, do you want to see what these are? You pick those up. He would have needed some tools because eventually he'd have to leave school, get to work, work hard. He'd be getting blisters on his hands as he's making, well, he worked as a carpenter. So there'd been lots of things that he would have needed. And his family would have needed, because he was a real human, just like us. Shall we put those things back in the bag? Thank you. Yeah, drop them in. And you can go back. Yeah, we'll lose the nappy. We don't like those. Yeah. Essentials. Yuck. So as we see, Jesus is here to help you. He's fully God and fully human. And that's something can be a struggle to understand. But that first, Jesus, the baby born in Bethlehem, that first Christmas night, was fully God and fully human. Jesus being born and growing up was like having God move into your neighborhood. If you've ever had some new neighbors move in to your neighborhood or around the corner, perhaps you've had some new people join at school, you might ask them where they've come from. And over Christmas, some people tend to travel big distances to see their family and friends. So has anyone traveled any big distances to be here for Christmas? Yeah, how far have you come? You come from Manchester, halfway up the country. That's impressive. That's a long way. From Edinburgh. That's virtually the whole length of the country. That's further. Anybody else traveling? Yes. Great Chesterford. That's a little tiny journey, but still a good journey to do. Well, Jesus traveled much further than any of us have traveled. He traveled all the way from the throne of heaven to a Middle East manger. And why did he make such a journey? Well, he made that journey because he loves us. He cares for us and wants to help us. He could have sent us a letter, an Instagram post, maybe even a Christmas card, or a WhatsApp message. But to come in person says much more. God the Father sent his son as that baby who was fully God and fully human so we could know for sure that God loves us, cares for us, and wants to help us. And we can sing a bit more about that in our next song as we remember him, see him lying in a bed of straw. So now we're going to jump all the way from that wooden crib in Bethlehem where he was lying on a bed of straw to what was going to happen at the end of his life to make, it's said in verse 17, the gift of atonement for sins of the people to what would happen on the wooden cross. So we've gone from the wooden crib to the wooden cross. And we sang about that actually in the last verse as well in our carol where it says, mine forgiveness by that death for me, child of sorrow for my joy. Well, sin is, again, an unpopular word, not one that we naturally would associate with Christmas, but it is a word the Bible uses unashamedly. It's a word that helps us understand what we see within us and what we see in the world around us. Sin is essentially putting myself where God deserves to be, in the place of God's authority, his majesty. I'm running my life, charting my course, as if there is no God. It's saying to God, whether very politely, indifferently, or even angrily, I don't want you, I don't need you, I won't obey your commands, and I won't listen to your word. And the Bible's clear that we're all in this position. We all sin. Everyone throws and misses when it comes to glorifying God. And by glorifying God, we mean recognizing God for who he is, wanting to please him, to love him, to follow him as God, the God who made us. And sometimes we talk about sinners and missing a mark, so I thought we'd have a quick go at some Christmas darts. I'd like some two youth volunteers.
Anyone fancy their go at darts? Joshua, have a go. Who's at the back? Come up. Yeah. Have a go at some Christmas darts. Everyone can see. Joshua, I'll give you the yellow ones. Three darts. Oh, I've given you, did I give you one, two red ones? Where's my other red one gone? Oh, no, I've lost a dart already. Where, oh, it's there. Practicing, you see, beforehand. Thank you. Now, as Joshua's taller, we'll make Joshua stand further back. In fact, let's bring it out a little bit. Put it here. What's your name?
Samuel.
Do you want to stand about here? Do you think you can hit anywhere on this target? Obviously, closer to the center is better. Let's give it a go. Ooh, I find it easier to throw them underarm. Oh, good one. Yes, well done. We'll leave those on. Let's see what Joshua can do. Oh. Oh. Hey. And for the 100. Ah. Oh. Thank you very much. We'll leave that there. It is quite tricky. It's hard to hit the mark. I was practicing at home. I was a bit concerned they might just fly everywhere. But, yes, you can miss a target just by a tiny bit, or you can miss by miles. And when it comes to God, actually, we don't often much care whether we miss or not. We're not even aiming to please God. Pleasing ourselves is often just quite fine, thank you. But even when we do care and we do try to obey God, we still miss. And even when I do my best, at home, even trying to get ready to get out to the service on time, still things don't go to plan. I sin. And these sins cause us alienation from God and conflict with others. And that's something I think we realize, and sadly we even see it, even in our own family gatherings at Christmas. So it's a good opportunity to take a moment to confess, to say sorry to God for the things we've done wrong, thought wrong, acted wrongly. So let's say this confession together. Almighty God, you sent your Son into this world to be our Savior. We humbly admit that we need to be rescued from our sins. We have not loved you as we ought, nor lived as you desire. You are right to be angry, and we deserve your judgment. But you are a compassionate God who loves to show mercy. Grant us forgiveness of sins and help us to serve you. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who was born for us in Bethlehem and took the punishment we deserve upon himself. Amen. Well, the Bible, as we said Jesus was here to help you, to help us. He came as fully God and fully human, and as such, he appreciates the struggle we have with sin. And his gift to us is to make atonement for our sins. So why is that a great gift? We're going to have just a little short drama to help us understand why. So I need Stuart, who's going to come up. Have a seat here, Stuart. Stuart's going to be God the Father. I need Chris Sully, who's going to be God the Son, Jesus. You might need that big silver thing as well. And Andy's coming to represent a person, all of humanity. I'll be the narrator. So, we all know today is Christmas Day when we give gifts and presents to those we love. So I want you to imagine now here at the front, we're in heaven's living room. Here's God the Father standing or sitting by the Christmas tree. Here's Jesus the Son and Andy the representing humanity. Now the present that we're going to give God is our own life, a life that's been a mixture of the good, the bad, and the ugly, a combination of beauty and brokenness. However we've wrapped it up, though, God will see inside. He'll see our lives. And will it be the kind of life that he wants? Well, the hard truth is, it won't be. The present contains greed and lies. Selfishness nestled alongside the kindness, thoughtfulness, and generosity, it won't please God. We know it won't please God, so we get ready to leave that living room, to walk out before we're sent out, and we'll stand outside the room looking in from the cold at that perfect, warm, beautiful place where God the Father, God the Son, the Spirit, and all the angels are, enjoying perfection and warmth of that lovely living room. But we're not one with God. In fact, we're shut out from the presence of God, what the Bible often calls hell. So you're about to leave the room, to leave heaven's living room, but before you reach the door, Jesus speaks to you, and Jesus says,
I can see you're completely unprepared to stand before my Father. Listen, I'll tell you what I'll do, okay? I've got this perfect gift to give the Father. Look, the gift bag says, to Dad, Jesus.
Then Jesus says something staggering.
So why don't you write your name next to mine, and then we'll give it to him from both of us. And I'll take your present.
Oh, thanks.
I'll deal with that. Just give
thanks.
That to me.
Thank you, yeah. Thank
you. You sign this, and we'll give that to him together.
Great. Great, I'll just take it.
And they give the gift, Jesus' gift, to the Father together. And the Father smiles at Jesus because he knows what he's just done. And then God the Father looks and smiles and says,
you are my Son, whom I love. Stay here and enjoy the party.
This is the gift that Jesus brings us, the gift of atonement, or being at one for our sins. And that gift means the gift of atonement means we can be at one with God, something we can't do for ourselves. Thank you, actors. So if you think that Jesus was just another baby boy who grew up to be a remarkable person, then we'll have issues with his virgin birth, with the miracles, with what was the point of his death and resurrection. But once we actually acknowledge that that baby born in Bethlehem was God, then suddenly his life, his death, his resurrection will make sense. So there is a God who loves us. He sent his Son Jesus to help us with the problem of sin that will separate us from God. Jesus became a human so that we could live with God. And that baby Jesus has grown up and to be a man who died on a cross to give us this gift we all need. The possibility of being at one with God, both now and forever. So I hope this brief passage has helped us appreciate Jesus, the King of Christmas. He's God's greatest gift to all humanity. And the gift that he brought for us is the possibility of being at one with God. So if you recognize the reality of sin and want to write your name on Jesus' gift tag, then do talk to a trusted Christian friend. We're running a Christianity Explore course, I think, in January. I've got a slide on at the end, which you're very welcome to join into. To be at one with God, we've got to receive that gift for ourselves. So please don't leave that gift unopened, hoping our lives will be good enough. And if you are a Christian, having already put your trust in Jesus, like writing your name on that gift tag, then today we can simply be glad and rejoice that we've received the greatest gift of all, the greatest gift of any Christmas, being at one with God.